Our studio guest is Professor Gilad Zuckerman, and we're talking to Gilad about the revival of the Hebrew languages. And Gilad's got a very interesting story to tell us. Gilad, shalom and welcome.
It's wonderful to be here again, Nitza.
Will you introduce yourself? I mean, I'm saying Professor Gilad Zuckerman. I told our listeners you're a professor of languages at Adelaide University in South Australia, reviving Aboriginal languages. Tell us more about yourself.
I'm endangered languages professor, so endangered that I'm the only such professor in Australia, and therefore I'm in Adelaide, which is until one cannot know, you know, to distinguish between Haman and Mordechai. This is how I name Adelaide, as kind of a rationalization for my existence and presence in this beautiful spot, which happens to be good in wine. I do reclaim Aboriginal languages that were killed due to colonization, due to linguicide and stolen generations, and I apply lessons from the Hebrew reclamation to the empowerment of Aboriginal languages and cultures. I see three reasons for that. First is an ethical reason. Don't forget that these languages were killed. Anthony Forster in 1843 said the native would be sooner civilized if their language was extinct. So this is 173 years ago. And what I do, I reclaim Aboriginal languages, righting the wrong of the past conducted by Anglos vis-a-vis Aboriginal people who had been here for 51,000 years at least, Homo sapiens sapiens leaving Africa probably 60,000 years ago. I'm a Jew from Israel, and I use a Lutheran missionary German dictionary from 173 years ago. So it's 170 years ago. So it's kind of a UNESCO endeavor, you know, an Israeli, a German, an Anglo, and an Aboriginal story. And I really enjoy doing it.
You were also, you've written a very controversial book about the revival of the Hebrew language as we speak it today in Israel. Can you tell us about it?
Absolutely.
But shortly, because we've got only 10 minutes, and maybe if somebody wants to ring us on 1-300-799-323, so in Hebrew we had more time. Professor Zuckerman, we have to actually shorten our conversation.
No worries. It'd be wonderful to refer to questions. The book Israeli, A Beautiful Language was published in 2008 and became a bestseller, a controversial one, in Israel. And in fact, in the Jewish world, I have to say. And what I did in this book, I argued two main arguments. Firstly, hybridity, and secondly, nativeness. So hybridity means that the Israeli language, this is my name for my mother tongue,
Hebrew,
is based simultaneously on Hebrew on the one hand, the language of Isaiah, on Yiddish on the other hand, the mamelotion of most revivalists, and then on Arabic, Russian, Polish, Italian, German, etc., a little bit Ladino. On the third hand, making it a mishmash, a hybrid language, the result of a hybridic revolution rather than of an organic evolution. And what is important to remember is that for 1,750 years, no one spoke Hebrew as a mother tongue. And therefore, when you reclaim a language, you need to know in advance that you must expect a hybrid. Even if you're very successful in the reclamation, the result will be a hybrid, which hybridizes both the target language, so Hebrew in this case, or Bangla in the case of, say, Aboriginal Eyre Peninsula, and the mamelotion of the revivalists in the case of Israelis, Yiddish mostly, in the case of Aboriginal people, Australian English or Aboriginal English and English. So I think it's very important to recognize the limits of language reclamation. It might be the case that maybe in the future we will inject a language into the brain. For example, you go to Thailand, you get an injection, a vaccination for typhoid and also, or tetanus, and also you get the Thai language injected into your brain, and then you go to Thailand and you speak just Thai without any problem. But until then, we need to know that when we reclaim a dead language or a sleeping beauty, this is a term that I prefer to refer to Aboriginal languages, we end up in a hybrid. So just as we do not say rrr in Israeli, but rather we say rrr, you say hatsa, you know, there was a funny funny thing with Gvirtia Nahava, the My Fair Lady, the Rhine in spine stays mainly in the pline, was translated as Barad Yarad Bidrom Sfarad Ha'erev, so hail fell in southern Spain this morning. But actually what was ironic is that in Israeli, most Israelis say Barad Yarad Bidrom Sfarad Ha'erev, not Barad Yarad Bidrom Sfarad Ha'erev. The ones who say Barad Yarad Bidrom Sfarad Ha'erev are usually from Northern Africa, etc. And at the end of the show,
Professor Zuckerman, we couldn't record the language as it was spoken 2,000 years ago. So that's why we cannot really know what's the pronunciation of Hebrew was 2,000 years ago. But the Hebrew language, although it wasn't a spoken language as a mother tongue for almost 2,000 years, it existed. Jews always studied it. It was the language of the Bible, the language of the prayer book, the language of the Haggadah Shel Pesach. There was very rich literature in the 10th century in Spain. I mean, Rashi wrote an explanation of the Bible, and he based on Hebrew. And even in Yemen, there was poetry in the 16th century, Hebrew poetry. So although it was a sleeping beauty, it is expected when you revive the sleeping beauty after so many generations that it's existed only in writing, obviously we wouldn't know the pronunciation and we'll have to adapt new words. I'm sure the English language from the time of Shakespeare got so many new items, new words added to the language. Mm. But they had the advantage that it was always spoken. Exactly. So it was a natural development.
You see, yeah, exactly. So you've answered the question. So shift happens, and this is why there are linguists. Shift happens in the sense that when a language has mother tongue speakers or native speakers, shift happens. So, you know, language develops and evolves, and this is beautiful. And, of course, gay in the past was just happy. Nowadays, it's homosexual. This is just an evolution. But in the case of Israeli, it's very different from this shift happening, because if you look at Eliezer ben Yehuda's dream, it was to reclaim the biblical Hebrew. So in theory, we would have already surpassed or overtaken 2,500 years of evolution had we managed to reclaim biblical Hebrew. And in fact, if Eliezer ben Yehuda were successful 100% in the reclamation, we would have been able to open the Bible, the Old Testament, and to read without any problem what is written there. But in fact, we totally misunderstand what is written in the Bible. Look, it's funny. I'm not going to test you, but I can tell you that Israeli speakers, including, by the way, religious Israeli speakers, not just secular, but of course secular, I have no idea about the Bible, they totally misunderstand without even realizing it. And I could give you 1,000 examples out of 8,000 words. In the Bible, there are only 8,000 words. So, look, we have evidence which is neurological that a language that is a mother tongue develops differently in the brain. And in fact, when you speak your mother tongue, something else is lit in your brain vis-a-vis a peripheral language that you acquired as an adult. And by the way, when somebody, God forbid, gets a stroke, often they go back to the original native tongue and they forget all the other, they cannot speak the other languages. So, for example, if somebody came to Australia from Israel, say, 70 years ago, suddenly they get a stroke, right? They start speaking in Israeli and they don't know how to speak English anymore. So this actually tells us that when Hebrew was a sleeping beauty, it did not evolve like a mother tongue. It's just impossible. So when you reclaim a dead language, you cannot have the original
sleeping language, not dead language.
Sleeping beauty.
But you dead see, language sleep from spoken, but it was spoken in the prayer book. Always maintained the Hebrew, the contact to nationalism and heritage and roots was the Hebrew language.
Right.
Because throughout the generations, all over the world, they say it was the same prayer book written in Hebrew. It's the same Bible in Hebrew, the same Torah written in Hebrew.
Right.
I want to ask you about,
yes,
and there are lots of people in all over the world that are expert in languages. I'm not a professor of languages, so I'm not even challenging you. But I'm saying that a lot of people that investigated the language do challenge you and don't agree with you. I just wanted to ask you about the Aboriginal languages. You are trying to revive a Bangla language. How many Aboriginal languages existed in Australia before the British set foot in here?
Before colonization, there were 330 Aboriginal languages, out of which only 13 are alive and kicking. When I say alive and kicking, what I mean is that only 13 Aboriginal languages are spoken by all children, including Walbri, for example, or Pijanjara, that is now eating Yankunjara, which is another Aboriginal language in APY land. So you have 13 languages that are spoken healthily. Only 4% of the 330 languages that were so rich, wealthy, complex, beautiful. So 96% of Aboriginal languages either were killed due to stolen generations, due to linguicide, language killing, or are severely endangered and are about to fall asleep. I know the last speakers of Adnyamatna, for example, the rock people language of the Flinders Ranges in South Australia. So you have this situation, which is one of the world's records in linguicide. And I believe that we Jews, or we Israelis, or we Israeli speakers, or we listeners to the English-Israeli SBS, we need to assist these Aboriginal people and make Australia not the world's record in linguicide, but the world's record in revivalistics and language reclamation, revitalization and reinvigoration.
Professor Zuckerman, I'd like to challenge you here. And over 300 languages, some people think it was their downfall because a lot of tribes couldn't communicate with each other because they had so many fragmented languages. If there was only 10 languages in Australia, maybe those languages would survive and they would still speaking. But 300 languages that the tribe living 3 kilometers from each other couldn't communicate with the tribe that living next door. They couldn't communicate, they couldn't trade, they couldn't develop a strong culture, a strong identity because so much fragmentation and too many languages there.
Well, I can tell you that if you were an Aboriginal, obviously you would have definitely preferred to be here prior to the colonization, because in fact it was much more peaceful. There were 2,000 people per tribe approximately, and tribes were by and large Pacific, so you know they were peaceful.
We can't stop progress. I mean, progress happened all over the world. What happened 200 years ago in Europe, the Middle East, or Australia is the same.
Well,
you know, progress.
But this progress actually caused Aboriginal people to arrive in 2.5 times more depression than white people, to suffer massacres, to suffer genocide, linguicide. Progress, I mean, what is progress? I mean, Aboriginal people lived very beautifully with the environment, etc. The fact that they did not have a writing system does not mean that they were unhappy. I mean, look,
What I meant by progress is 200 years is a lot of happening in the world, and also happened in Australia. And,
For Aboriginal people, what happened in 200 years was devastating. I mean, don't forget that I know people personally who were taken out of their homes and were said, look, you're not allowed to speak your language anymore. This is horrible. If somebody told me, you're not allowed to speak Israeli because this is illegal to speak Israeli, I would have been devastated. I'm sure that my mental health would have deteriorated, etc. I mean, there are reasons for this. I mean, Aboriginal communities, there is no, I mean, I would say that it's the opposite of progress what happens due to colonization. So we ought to assist these people. And in fact, I have evidence that shows that language revival results in well-being empowerment. People feel much better when they reconnect with their ancestors. And I receive unsolicited Facebook comments, you know, our ancestors are happy. It's liberating to learn our language, the language that was killed 50 years ago when our parents, grandparents were taken out of home. I think that Australia is a very sad story, a story of tragedy, linguicide, and bureaucracy. I mean, you have Bess Price, who is trying to speak Walbri in the Northern Territory just several days ago, and she received a rebuke. I mean, you cannot speak Walbri. What do you mean she cannot speak Walbri? She ought to speak Walbri. This is Australia. There were 330 languages. Let us right the wrong of the past. And as Jews, we ought to assist Aboriginal people because Jewish people are the ones who know best how to reclaim language. I mean, Hebrew, the revival of Hebrew, so far is the most successful reclamation of a Sleeping Beauty tongue. Of course, it's not the same as Biblical Hebrew. Of course, my Israeli accent is very different from the original accent, which is much more similar to the Yemenite who says Kesiso rather than Ktsitsa. No one would have said Ktsitsa in the Bible.
Professor Zuckerman, we are running out of time. We're going to the Yiddish program. And Professor Gilad Zuckerman, thank you very much for coming here. And I'm sure you're doing very important work in South Australia, the University of Adelaide, helping the revival of a language. I can talk to you a lot about it because I think the biggest success of the Hebrew as a spoken language today, it's attached to a country. And,
Absolutely. And I think that if Aboriginal people wanted to have a country, then the language reclamation would have been much more successful. Because when you have the institutions, when you have the schools, when you have the hospitals running in the language, of course, it makes the language much more successful. So this is one of the secrets for the revival of Hebrew as a successful reclamation, resulting in a beautiful and multifaceted language called Israeli. But you see,
Professor Gilad Zuckerman, thank you very much.